Today is Passion Sunday. It is also the first Sunday of the month, and thus it is Vocation Sunday. And I ask that you please offer up your Holy Communion for the intention of an increase of vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And then please join us in the prayers after Mass for this intention. Also after Mass, the blessing of religious articles will take place at the communion rail. So if you've brought anything to be blessed, please bring it to the communion rail after Mass. Also, this Tuesday night is Parent-Teacher Night at St. Pius V School. It's the last one of the year, and it will be held at 7:30 p.m. Again, that's this Tuesday. Three of our high school students, Gemma Pahalski, Emmy Milisek, and Brendan Fonts, competed in the pro-life oratorical contest. Gemma Pahalski took first place, and we do want to offer our congratulations to these students who promote life and strive to end abortion and euthanasia in our country. Easter chocolates are available after Mass today. They will also be available next week, so please stop and pick yours up either today or next week. This Thursday, Bishop Sante will be continuing his series of conferences on modernism in the Second Vatican Council for the men of the parish. The talk will begin at 7:30 p.m. at St. Pius V School. This Friday is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, and it is the final evening Lenten Mass and dinner. Mass will begin at 6 o'clock p.m., followed by confessions and dinner downstairs. Stations of the Cross will begin at 8 o'clock p.m., followed by a sermon and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Tickets are still available for the annual $10,000 raffle. As I understand it, there are about 100 tickets left. If you have not purchased a ticket yet, please see Mr. Pat Fonts after Mass. If you'd like to help by selling some tickets to those who are not members of the parish, please see Mr. Pat Fonts as well. You may also be reached by telephone. His number is in the bulletin. Please note that there is a $1,000 prize for the person who sells the winning ticket. And with the drawing less than 2 weeks from today on Holy Saturday, now is the perfect opportunity to try to sell some of the tickets to outside sources. We are very grateful for any help that you can give us in either purchasing a ticket or selling tickets to others. This Friday and Saturday, we will be cleaning the grounds here at the chapel in preparation for Palm Sunday. And then beginning on Wednesday, April 17th, we will also be preparing the grounds at St. Pius V School and setting up the altar of repose for Holy Thursday. If you are able to help out in any way, whether this Friday or this Saturday, or on Wednesday, April 17th, Father Bomberger and the sisters would be most grateful. Please note that next Saturday, from 10 a.m. until noon, there will be a mandatory practice for the altar boys who are serving on Palm Sunday. Practice for the other ceremonies will be on Wednesday, April 17th. For more information, please see the practice schedules. Please note as well that the Mass time for next Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, will be changed just for next Sunday. The Mass times will be at 6:30 a.m., 8 o'clock a.m., and 11:30 a.m. And again, that is next Sunday only. The bands of marriage are announced for the first time for Laura McKenzie and Anthony Falaschi. If anyone knows of a reason why this couple should not be joined in holy matrimony, please contact Father Bomberger or one of the priests. And finally, I would like to remind you that while all are welcome to attend our Masses here at St. Pius V, there are some requirements for the reception of Holy Communion. And those requirements for Holy Communion are printed in the back of the bulletin and are posted as well in the vestibule of the chapel. The epistle for Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of a heifer, being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you, a liar. But I do know him, and do keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it, and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. He saith to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." After that he saith to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." These words are taken from the Gospel for the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, which feast day we will celebrate this coming Friday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, as I just mentioned, this Friday we will celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. It is the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, with special emphasis on her last four sorrows: the meeting of Our Lady with her Divine Son on the way of the cross, the agony of Our Lady on Calvary, as she witnessed the crucifixion and death of her Divine Son, holding of our Lord's lifeless body beneath the cross, and his burial in the tomb. In the year 1727, Pope Benedict XIII decreed that this feast should be celebrated every Friday of Passion Week. And he did this because during Holy Week, the Church is completely occupied with contemplating the sufferings of Christ. And although the remembrance of Our Lady sharing those sufferings is often brought forth, still the passion and death of Christ absorbs our full attention and devotion. It was fitting then that some other day during the Lenten season be set aside to honor the Mother of Sorrows. And that day is the Friday following Passion Sunday. It was during the seven most sorrowful times of her life that a sword of sorrow pierced Our Lady's immaculate soul, as the saintly Simeon foretold when he said to her, "And thy own soul a sword shall pierce." In fact, Our Lady herself revealed that on hearing these words, all her joy was changed to sorrow. And what greater sorrow could her immaculate heart experience than to see her Divine Son brutally tortured and then violently put to death? It is commonly held, my dear friends, that among the most difficult things for a parent to bear, especially a mother, is to see her child suffer. And what makes that pain all the more severe is when that mother can do nothing to alleviate her child's suffering, but rather has to watch him endure his pain alone. This was the case with one mother in particular and her son, whom we shall call Jeremy. As a young man, Jeremy was remarkable for his athletic talent, as well as for his academic excellence. He worked very hard to perfect himself in everything he did, whether it was on the baseball field, the football field, or especially in the classroom. Jeremy gave his all. He was not proud. He was not stuck up. He was a responsible, humble young man who took nothing for granted, but rather made good use of his God-given abilities. One day, however, something happened that changed Jeremy's life forever. A small, abnormal bump appeared near his elbow. Though it was slightly painful, Jeremy did not think anything about it. He thought perhaps it was the result of a sports injury or some other sort of injury that he received. And so he did not bother informing anyone, even his mother, about something that he thought was probably insignificant. Years went by, and there was still not much pain in his arm. But the bump slowly grew larger and larger. Finally, Jeremy decided that although he did not feel much pain, something must be seriously wrong. And so he went to the doctor to have it examined. After a number of tests, Jeremy was diagnosed with osteosarcoma. Osteosarcoma, as you may know, is a rare and very serious form of bone cancer. And it often strikes children, adolescents, and young men. And Jeremy had a very advanced case of it. So advanced, in fact, that there really was nothing the doctors could do for him. Now, after the initial shock, Jeremy took the diagnosis with the courage and fortitude that had been characteristic of him throughout his life. His mother, however, was devastated. She had already lost her husband, and now her only son, whom she loved very much, was nearing the end of his life. But though her heart was breaking within her, she was nevertheless determined to be there for her son, and she was ready to give him all the support he would need every step of the way. She was with him at every test, at every procedure, at every appointment. When Jeremy eventually had to remain in the hospital, she stayed at his bedside around the clock. And how it hurt her to see him suffer. While he slept, his mother shed many tears and said countless fervent prayers. And though she did what she could to comfort him, deep down she knew that she was helpless. Jeremy, of course, was truly grateful for all that his mother did for him, but he was especially grateful for her just being there. And yet, at the same time, he saw how exhausted she was. And thus he pleaded with her, "Please, go home. Get some rest." But she would not. I am in this with you to the end," she said to him. "What you are suffering in your body, I am suffering in my heart." "I have been with you from the beginning," the mother explained, "through the good times and the bad. We enjoyed the good times and we made it through the bad ones together, and we will make it through this." And then, giving Jeremy a reassuring look, his mother said, Jesus' mother did not leave him as he carried his cross. And I am not going to leave you while you carry yours. We will walk this road together, and in the end, everything will be fine. Were these not, my dear friends, the sentiments of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that most sorrowful of mothers? Were these not her sentiments as she watched her divine son make his way to Calvary? The anguish that Jeremy's mother felt was certainly immense, seeing her son suffer so tremendously from bone cancer. But her sorrow, great as it was, cannot even begin to be compared with what Our Lady went through. The Blessed Virgin Mary revealed to St. Bridget that when the time of the Passion of our Lord was approaching, her eyes were always filled with tears. And what no doubt increased her pain was the thought that there was nothing she could do to help him. She could only stand by and watch as the brutal soldiers scourged her divine son until his shredded flesh hung from his bones. She could only stand by and listen as the mob cried out for his blood. She could only stand by and hear the proclamation of the unjust sentence of death. But still, though her immaculate heart was breaking within her, Our Lady was determined to be with her divine Son to the end. And thus, accompanied by St. John the Apostle, St. Mary Magdalene, and some other holy women, the Blessed Virgin followed her divine Son as he carried his cross through the streets of Jerusalem to Calvary. At one point, Our Lady and St. John went ahead of the crowd, and they positioned themselves where our Lord was yet to pass. And there the sorrowful mother stood, watching the procession to the place of execution. She saw the two thieves with their crosses. She beheld the executioners carrying the ropes, the hammers, and the nails. And at last she saw her divine son, covered with blood and wounds, his face hardly recognizable, a crown of thorns upon his head, and the beams of the cross upon his back. At length, our divine Savior reached the place where Our Lady stood. There he stopped, but for a moment. And raising his free hand, he wiped away the clotted blood from his eyes so that he might see her. The son looked at his mother, writes St. Alphonsus, and the mother looked at her son. Perhaps Our Lady said words similar to what Jeremy's mother said to him, that she would be with him to the end. Perhaps she said nothing, but rather looked lovingly and mournfully into the eyes of her divine son, a look that would have said everything. Throughout his public life, our divine Savior consoled distraught parents over and over again. He raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead. He brought back to life the daughter of Jairus. He cast out a devil from the daughter of the Canaanite woman who pleaded for her daughter, and from the son of a poor man who asked him to have pity on his son. Our Lord had compassion on these and so many other parents and helped them in their sorrow. But there was one parent whom he could not console. There was one parent whom he could not help, and that was his own mother. He could not console her because he came to this earth for one reason, to be about his heavenly Father's business, as he himself told her when he was only 12. That is, he came to suffer and to die for the salvation of mankind. It was thus the will of God that Our Lady should suffer in her immaculate heart the very torments her divine Son was suffering in His sacred body, that she too should walk the way of the cross. And she was in it with her divine Son to the end. The cross, my dear friends, was the lot of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was the lot of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of the saints. And it is our lot in this valley of tears. Throughout the course of our lives, our divine Savior will approach us, as it were, and He will lay a cross, some suffering, some trial, some sorrow. He will lay that cross upon our shoulders. To some people, this will happen very frequently. To others, not as often. Some crosses will be heavy. Others will not be. At times, we will be weighed down by sorrow, difficulty, contradiction, and even temptation. There will be days when we are tired of carrying our crosses. Tired of bearing our burdens, tired of trial, tired of sorrow. There will be times when the cross of fear or of worry may wear us down, whether it be the fear of this or that temptation, the fear of the multitude or magnitude of our sins, or the fear of something happening to us or to those whom we love. And then there will be times when we feel abandoned as we go through life bearing the cross. But my dear friends, we must always remember that we are really and truly children of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and she is really and truly our mother. For our divine Savior, as He hung in agony upon the cross, selflessly gave His own mother to be ours. He did this when He said to her, "Woman, behold thy son." And when He said to St. John, "Behold thy mother." And so as it is with any good mother, it hurts her to see us suffer. It hurts her to see us struggle. She shares in our sorrows and our trials, and she is ever ready to help us to bear them. She can help us carry our crosses by sending us the graces that we need. That is, by sending us supernatural help, help that enlightens our mind and strengthens our will. And this she does without fail, provided we ask for her help. May we bear ever in mind, my dear friends, that it is not the cross that breaks us down. It is the way that we carry it. When it is difficult, then, when it is hard, we must have recourse to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let our confidence be in her and in her divine Son. Let us go to her often and implore her help and protection. Let us say to her, "O Mary, my mother, pray for me and help me to carry my cross as you carried yours." Never forget, my dear friends, especially when your crosses weigh upon you or you feel abandoned, never forget that you are not alone. Remember always the words Jeremy's mother spoke to him, words that our Heavenly Mother speaks to each one of us. What you suffer in your body, I suffer in my Immaculate Heart. But I am in this with you to the end. We will walk this road together, and in the end, everything will be fine. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.